Good evening, everyone. I guess to begin with the practice tonight, we're going to do a kind of very sort quick and abbreviated version of the kind of practice that we did last week. We're not going to do the words, the letters BBSSBB, but just the idea of tuning into different sort of aspects of our experience, what it feels like to breathe, what it feels like to tune into the senses, the sensation of the body, just as a way of sort of both, I think, focusing the mind. Especially at the end of a long day, the mind is probably scattered, somewhat scattered. So focusing, but also at the same time as we focus the mind, reminding ourselves of the width or the breadth of our experience, that the experience isn't, the focus isn't just to be present with the breath or any one aspect of our experience, but our experience is really thick. It's rich. It's broad spectrum, and so that our awareness has become unnecessarily sort of narrow or constricted or tight, right? So both simultaneously cultivating concentration, focus, while also encouraging our awareness to be open and soft. I think these are the two for crucial sort of dimensions of the kind of practice that ultimately, like all the different techniques that they offer this group on different weeks are about. It's just those two dimensions. Can we be here and not scattered, but can we be here in a way that's open to the breadth of our experience, you know, not tight, controlling in any way. We're going to do, you know, we're tuning into a few different anchors for, you know, I don't know, it's probably going to last, I'd say, 5 or 10 minutes. And then I'm going to invite all of you to just dwell in just a kind of open awareness. For the second half of this opening sitting. So we'll use a sort of technique, so to speak, for tuning into particular sort of aspects of our experience, balance, breath, sensations, senses, right? All that, like we did last week. And it's okay if you weren't here last week, just follow along. But so there'll be a certain kind of like method or technique, but ultimately, the point is to get to a kind of open awareness where we then no longer have to employ any method or technique. We're just aware of whatever arises. I thought maybe I would just sh read the one of the passages that I sent out with this week's email, which is, you know, gets at this kind of open awareness. And I'll talk a little bit more about it when we get to, you know, when we finish our sitting. But this is the passage from Tony Packer. And these are some questions she's asking us about that are intended to get us to just be with whatever is our present experience is like, whatever it may be like, right? And in her words, she says, no matter what state dawns at this moment, can there be just that? Not a movement away, an escape into something that will provide what this state does not provide or doesn't seem to provide. Energy, zest, inspiration, joy, happiness, whatever, just completely, unconditionally listening to what's here now. Is that possible? And I think she means all these questions genuinely. She really wants us to ask, can I just be with what is happening at this moment? Can I, what's exactly the phrase that she used? One second, sorry. Can I not move away, not a movement away or an escape into something, right? Can we not move away from what our experience is, right, at this moment? Of course, I think what we'll see if we take her question seriously is that there's a constant moving away, right? That we're always, and the quality of this moving away is different at different times, but sometimes it's almost like a flinching, like, no, I can't be with that. Or sometimes it's a kind of restlessness, like, this isn't enough. This is boring. Nothing's happening. I want more. One of the interesting things is that Tony Packer actually disliked the word practice. When people talked about meditation, she didn't like to call what she was teaching people to do a practice. I think the term that she favored is sort of like meditative inquiry. Can we just inquire in a meditative, contemplative way into what this moment is like, right? And the reason she didn't like the word practice is because it already kind of invokes this whole picture of us as a practitioner trying to do something, right, with our experience, right? There's this kind of agent who's doing something and something so serious and important and spiritual, right? And she actually considered that very picture one of the ways in which we move away from the present moment. And so, of course, there's a very subtle thing she's pointing out. And it's something that I think people like have to practice for a little while before they even sense that they're doing. But she did it, all of us do it, right? And so it's not about it that it being a bad thing to do. It's about just being aware of that, you know? And of course, that's exactly, can we just be aware of whatever is happening? Even our inability to stay with the present moment. Can we just be aware of that rather than turning that into some big, heavy project? Like, oh no, I got to do this right. I got to be with the present moment, you know, in this correct way. Can we just get over all of that and over ourselves and actually just be with whatever it may be, you know? Okay. So one of the, I think, you know, one of the things I want to talk a little bit about after we sit is just this tension between methods and the methodless sort of quality of practice that Tony's talking about in the passage I just read, but also that I think that I often like try to get us to in some way. Like, methods I think are useful. I think that I think, and I'll talk about this a little bit later when, you know, I think I understand what Tony Packer is getting at, but she's also very, I mean, had been doing Zen for like 50, 40 or 50 years by the time she came to this place where she's like, can we just drop all methods, right? I think it's not actually very productive or realistic for most people to not like rely on methods, you know, for a long time. But it's important to realize that methods are meant to sort of get us into this space where can we just feel what it's like to, even if it's just for a moment, it's just like to drop them, to let them go, and just explore in an open way whatever the present moment is, consists of, right? So we'll begin with a method, and then we'll see what it feels like to let it go. Right, and just sort of float in the present moment. All right, so please get into a comfortable position. Maybe take a few deep breaths. Sometimes it's not until we really fill up our lungs, our bodies with air that we sort of realize, oh wow, my body's a little caved in. My torso is a little collapsed, you know, until we really fill the lungs with air, we may not realize that actually there's a kind of like tightness or collapsedness or posture. So just remind yourself what it feels like to be able to breathe fully. And then now let your breath go. Let your breath just come and go at whatever pace and depth it wants to on its own, no longer intentionally managing the breath in any way. And now, whether you're sitting in a chair or on a cushion, just I invite you to lean to your left until you feel sort of unbalanced. Really feel how it feels to feel unbalanced. And then now lean to the right till you feel unbalanced in the opposite direction. And then just kind of keep rocking back and forth, gently, slowly. And just making the movements a little bit smaller each time, feeling internally that movement between imbalance and that moment where you start to feel balanced and centered and then unbalanced again. And just keep moving this way a little bit less and less each time until you come to that nice still center where you feel not unbalanced. You feel centered. Really feel that in the body. What does it feel like to feel like your body is centered, balanced? And once you've come to a rest, then please bring your awareness to the tip of your nose and begin to feel the sensations produced there by the movement of your breath in and out of the body. And let your awareness of the breath be soft. I'm not trying to hold tightly to the breath. It's okay if we don't feel every single moment of the breath. It's okay. A light touch, loose touch. Now let your awareness move down to the center of the chest and feel the sensations produced there by your breath. As your chest expands and falls, how does that feel? In the center of your chest. Now let your awareness move down into the belly and do the same thing there. Just feel the sensations, the belly moving as you breathe. Now, for a bit, let's feel the breath in all three spots at the same time, the nose, the chest, and the belly. Just the breath as a whole, just moving in and out of the body. And remember, there's no way the breath is supposed to feel. There's no right way to breathe. If your breath feels tight or shallow or uneven, just notice that. That's what your breath is like. Let your breath be however it wants to be in this moment. Now let's tune in for a little bit to the sensations throughout the body. What do you feel in your legs? What kind of sensations do you feel in various parts of the legs and feet? Just noticing, not doing anything to these sensations. Now, what sensations do you feel in the torso? Your waist up to your neck. And if you haven't already, just remember to include your arms as part of this sort of broad field of awareness. Whatever sensations you might feel, just let them be there. If there are spots of tension that you notice, just let the tension be there as part of your overall field of awareness. And now, what do you feel up above the neck and the head? What kind of sensations do you feel there? Now, for a few moments, let's just feel the sensations in the body as a whole. So, a whole body awareness. Probably feel some sensations associated with the breath. What other kind of sensations do you feel as part of this overall body-wide field of awareness? I'm not trying to feel everything. This isn't some kind of like task or something. Just let yourself be open to whatever sensations there might be throughout the body as a whole, in a relaxed way. Now let's take a few moments to tune into our sensory experience. So we've been focusing on the inner sensations. Now let's turn our awareness outwards towards our sensory experience. Let's start with our hearing. Just notice what kind of sounds there are around you. Maybe notice the sensations of the temperature of the room you're in on your skin. Now, please bring your awareness to the boundary, external boundary of the body as a whole. Is kind of sensations you feel on your skin, all around your body. And you feel sensations produced by the movement of the skin against clothes you're wearing, for example. As you breathe, the fabric that is covering your torso, can you feel the sensations produced by that movement? How about the sensations produced by the contact between your body and the seat beneath you? Now let's expand our awareness beyond the boundaries of our individual body and widen our awareness to include the room, the space that we're in. And perhaps you'll feel it possible to include even the space beyond the room you're in. Maybe you can include in your awareness a sense of the street outside, the rest of the building you're in. You feel how our awareness isn't bound or limited by the boundaries of our body. Actually, much wider in scope than that. And now, please return your awareness just to the breath and to the sensations of the body as a whole. So, we're just feeling the breath in this loose, soft way and just being open to whatever sensations may be arising in the body. And for the rest of this sitting, let's just notice what arises as part of our experience. Staying in touch with the breath, but in a loose way so that we're aware of what's going on in the body. We notice what thoughts might be arising, what emotions or feelings we might be having. Not clinging to anything, just letting whatever arises arise. Just noticing. Being with whatever this moment is like. And if you ever feel like your awareness or attention is becoming a little bit too scattered, you're starting to daydream, just anchor yourself for a little bit with the breath again. Listen to the sounds around you. It's a way of reconnecting with the physical reality, the present moment. And see if you can loosen your grip a little bit. Just let your hold of the breath be ever so light. Just sit in awareness. Can you hear the sounds around you? Can you feel the movement of your breath? As you sit here, do you notice any movement within you away from whatever this moment is presenting to you? Just notice that. It's not a problem. Don't judge it. Just notice that movement. That movement too is part of this present moment. Include it in your awareness. Do you feel any boredom or impatience or frustration? If so, can you be curious about how those states feel? What does boredom actually feel like? What does frustration or impatience or whatever you may be feeling at this moment, what is it? What does it really feel like? Look with curiosity and openness. We have 5 more minutes of this sitting, and our task is so simple, just to be with whatever arises, just to be aware of whatever arises, no matter what it might be. That's great. Feel free to move around, get comfortable, get yourself a drink of water. How was that? How was especially the second half? Just sitting. I'm gonna be curious if anyone would be willing to share just what the experience was like, what felt interesting, challenging, surprising.
For me, it's really interesting. It was one of the deepest practices I think I've ever had. I felt so involved and just, and I felt things, what was going on and all that, but it was just such a peaceful, deep practice. It was really interesting. Thank you.
It's interesting. Thanks for sharing, Jane. Rudy.
Hi. I
Hi.
also really, I think doing it a second time made it feel nicely familiar in a way that allowed me to not think about the form as much this time. But I also noticed today I want something really badly today. I want something to happen really badly today, and I've been noticing all day this kind of preoccupation. There's a script going in my mind kind of throughout the day, and I don't know if it's because it's kind of such a temporary script. But it kept coming in while I was meditating. And I maybe because I felt like I was able to dissociate from it. Like it really felt like a script while it was happening in a way that was really helpful for me to, it's usually difficult for me to kind of label thoughts as thoughts and move on from them. And it felt like because it was kind of more floating, it moved faster. In a way that I don't know if it was because of the practice or just because of the thought, but I found that really helpful.
No, that's really cool. It's such an interesting thing, right? Where that subtle but incredibly constant, like huge difference between having a thought and believing it. And having a thought and be able to see that it's just a thought, right? And it's just such a like, and it's there's no like trick, you know. If only there was like something that we could do and say, oh, that thought, you know, that's just a thought. Like, yeah, most of the time we can tell ourselves that, but actually we still believe the thought, you know. And that feeling that you're talking about, it's just so it's fascinating and it's so interesting and so important. And I'm glad that you were able to feel that. That's great. That's great. You know, it's one of the interesting things about Zen Buddhism is one of the kind of innovations, right, in Buddhism that Zen reflects is this idea that we all already are Buddhas. You know, it's not like it's not a state that we're supposed to achieve or get. It's not a goal that we're meant to get, but that we everything that we already have, we just it's obscured. Our sort of awareness of our inherent Buddha nature is somehow obscured from us, so we feel like we're cut off from it, but it's always there, you know. And so that has huge consequences for, I think, how one thinks about the whole Buddhist path, but also how one thinks about meditation practice. If you look at earlier Buddhist texts about meditation, you know, there's a lot of sort of goal-oriented language, a lot of stages, a lot of steps. Like I'm purifying the mind. I'm attaining these different levels of concentration, right? I'm getting somewhere to the state of nirvana, right? The thinkers and the practitioners who sort of led to the development of Mahayana Buddhism, which Zen is a major part or major example, they sort of realized that actually that there is no difference between samsara, this word world of suffering and delusion, and nirvana, this world of awakening and enlightenment. You know, Nagarjuna, this wonderful, you know, a Buddhist monk, a thinker who is like crucial to develop Mahayana Buddhism, said that, you know, nirvana and samsara are exactly the same, that there is not an iota of difference between them, you know. So, and so meditation or practice from this outlook then can't be something that we are practicing in order to get somewhere that we are not, right? It can't be about achieving a certain kind of existence or state that we don't already have. But so, you know, because then that would already then be like betray the kind of vision that underlies this whole sort of outlook, right? And so here, let me just share the text that I sent you guys in the email again. And so this text, this quotation from Huang Po is actually like one of a wonderful articulation of this view, right? You know, that which is before you is in all its fullness, utterly complete. There is not besides. Even if you go through all the stages of a bodhisattva's progress toward a Buddhahood, one by one, when at last in a single flash you attain to full realization, you will only be realizing the Buddha nature which has been with you all the time. And by all the foregoing stages, you will have added to it nothing at all. So what you realize when you experience enlightenment for someone like Wang Po, someone like Nagarjuna, is that actually there was nowhere for you to go. There was nothing for you to get. And one of the characteristic formulations you often hear in descriptions of people who are enlightenment experiences, like, how did I miss it? How did I not see it? It was before me, like all the time. And so it's like something has changed, but you realize actually nothing has changed. It's just that somehow you were able to see something that you weren't able to see before, but that you have not actually fundamentally changed. And so when teachers like Tony Packer say, you know, no matter what state dawns at this moment, can there be just that, right? Not a movement away and escape into something that'll provide what the state does not provide or doesn't seem to provide, right? She's not saying this because she says, well, you just need to like be with what is, right? Because that's just the way that you maybe you learn to be less reactive, right? Or you learn how to, you know, you need to like accept whatever emotions arise because that's an important part of the therapeutic work that meditation does. But it actually goes deeper than that because she's like, it's like what she's saying is, can you just be with this moment? Because there is nothing but this moment. You know, just like Huang Po is saying, right? There is not besides, right? This which is before you is in all its fullness, utterly complete. And when Joko Beck, who is a you know teacher who has had one of the biggest influence on me, says, you know, can you be with the tension in your body and the thoughts that you might be having, right? And just really be, let that, you know, let that tension be that tension, be that feeling of sadness or anger or loneliness or whatever emotion. It's not, she's not saying that. And I'm not saying that because, you know, that's important stage along the way of sort of diffusing the grip that these emotions have on you. Again, it's not for the therapeutic benefit that doing this might have, though it might have a therapeutic benefit, but rather because this emotion, this mental state you're having is it. There is nothing else. I mean, it's like radically non-dualistic. But what is so difficult about this outlook that says what we have right now, as we are, is already complete in itself. What's so difficult about that is that there's a deep part of us that wants very much to be different, imagines that what will give us satisfaction or happiness must be elsewhere, must have a different form than where I am now. And so that's that movement away that Tony Packer is talking about. We're always moving away because we think what I have can't be enough. Who I am cannot be enough. This state as it is cannot be enough, right? There must be some other thing that I can do or become or achieve that will then make me enough, right? But it's that very movement away from what is towards something else that creates the suffering that makes us come to practice in the first place, right? That makes us like makes us feel like we need to do something to be okay, right? And so the really difficult turn in practice is realizing that movement away, even when we use practice as a way of moving away, right, is actually the thing that we need to learn how to rest. How can we not keep indulging in the sense that I need to transcend who I am at this moment, become the person that will be happy or satisfied or content, right? That what is not enough. I need to be elsewhere, right? There's this American philosopher who I used to do a lot of work on, and is still very fond of. His name is Stanley Cavell, and he has this wonderful line, which I has really rung true to me when I studied him years ago, and it comes to mind when I think about Zen. He's like, "There is nothing more human than the desire to transcend the human." I mean, isn't that so true, right? We are always looking for ways to get somewhere else, to become different, to make up some kind of lack that we think we have, that makes us not good enough the way we are, right? And so there's this wonderful koan. For those of you who don't know koans, they're like, you know, they're old like sort of stories about encounters between Zen practitioners, and they make up like a really crucial part of the literature of Zen. And they just describe often conversations or encounters between two people, often a teacher and a student. And they're meant to encapsulate some kind of truth that practitioners can sort of contemplate in the service of their own kind of realization of their awakening, right? And this is a really famous one that gets at this theme that I'm talking about. It's called Nangaku Polishes a Tile. And it goes like this, it's short. One day Nangaku visited Basso's hut. And Nangaku is Basso's teacher, right? Basso stood and greeted him. Nangaku asked, "What have you been doing recently?" And Basso replied, "I've done nothing but sit in Zazen." Then Nangaku asked, "Why do you continually sit in Zazen?" Basso answered, "I sit in Zazen in order to become a Buddha." Nangaku picked up a tile he found by the side of Basso's hut and started to polish it. Basso watched what he was doing and asked, "Master, what are you doing?" Nangaku answered, "I'm polishing this tile." Basso asked, "Why are you polishing the tile?" Nangaku answered, "To make a mirror." Basso said, "How can you make a mirror by polishing a tile?" And Nangaku replied, "How can you become a Buddha? By doing Zazen," right? And the story, I think, goes that Basso, at hearing this, suddenly had this deep realization. He suddenly realized, oh my God, he felt like this is what I've been doing. And he was able to let that go. And then, precisely by letting that deep desire go, was able to realize his own Buddhahood, you know, precisely by ceasing to strive so hard for it, right? But of course, he had been doing a lot of meditation and was ripe for that kind of realization, you know. But I think this is, you know, this story, I think, beautifully encapsulates this issue. Like, you know, are we practicing meditation in order to become something that we're not, right? And as long as we're doing that, we're just going to be going in circles. But if we can practice meditation instead as a way of being fully with who we are, then, you know, well, it's hard to know as to describe what exactly happens, because it's like, it's, I think we can come to the realization that we didn't need to become someone else, that what we are as we are is actually already complete, like totally full, as Wang Po put it in his passage. Now, just being with, right? This is at all at once, both sort of the method and the goal, right? But it's hard to do that. And I think what we actually need to do is our own version of rubbing the tile. I think the story is double-edged, right? Yeah, like rubbing the tile to become a Buddha is futile, right? It's fruitless. It doesn't get us anywhere. The same time, we can't just let go, because we are so deeply conditioned to want to be elsewhere, to move away from our present moment experience. And so that's why we have all these different kinds of methods and techniques, and why we have this discipline of, in different ways, repeatedly sort of bringing ourselves this awareness of how we are not content with this moment as it is, how we are not okay with who we are as we are, seeing that movement away, that flinching, that turning away, that squirming, as I sometimes called it, right, in the midst of our present condition, and turning back towards what is. That constant movement, not towards something else, but back towards where we already are, which is the thing that we're constantly trying to get away from. And so I think this is why, you know, methods are valuable and useful, even if what the practice is ultimately about is sort of coming to the realization that we don't need a method and that there's nowhere to go. If we could just accept that, then yeah, we'd all be, we wouldn't need this. We wouldn't be here, right? We wouldn't be asking, we wouldn't be suffering. We wouldn't be having the kinds of, like, you know. And so I think what we need is a way to just really sort of highlight, illuminate the ways in which we don't feel it's okay. And that's why so much of practice is so difficult, because really it's just like over and over again, honestly, rigorously, looking at the ways in which we turn our face away from what is, right? You know, people talk about, like, just be here now. Yeah, if only, right? Really what be here now amounts to in practice is mostly realizing that we just don't want to be here now, and seeing what that feels like, seeing the ways in which we avoid, you know, that's what the awareness practices are all about, seeing that. And once we see that, then there's no real, like, there's nothing you need to do, you know, to be in the present moment. It's not something we do. As some of you felt last week, as some of you may have felt tonight, like, just awareness of the present moment is just, it's not a doing of something. You're just sitting. You're just letting whatever arises arise, right? What we need to be on the lookout for are all those ways that happen over and over again, which we turn away from the present moment. I think that's what this practice is really about, is looking at the ways in which we squirm and move away, flinch, you know, see that, call attention, be aware of that, and then can we relax back into what's right here in front of us? If we do that over and over again, we just get more comfortable. And I think, like, the experience that Rudy was having is like seeing, oh yeah, like, that thought's just a thought, you know, that becomes more and more familiar. You know, you start to be able to do that in the midst of daily life, right? You start to be able to do that, even when the thoughts become quite challenging. And then there's always going to be a point for every single one of us where it's too much, right? The thought pulls us in, you know, and that's just part of it. You know, I think that's just that's what it is to be human, you know. Okay, I'm not sure how clear that was, or how much that held together, or how much sense that all made. But does anyone have any questions or just thoughts? Did it even make sense what I was saying? Yeah. So. I did something, I'll share a story. I did something that I never do. And maybe you can hear it in my voice tonight. About 6:45, as I was like sort of setting up the computer for this class, I said, you know what? I feel a little tired. I'm gonna have some green tea. So I had some, and I feel quite alert now. quite awake, and maybe I will like 4 or 5 hours from now too, which will be kind of a bummer. But you know, there was like a month and a half ago where I had not drunk caffeine for like a few years, and I was realizing actually, like, you know, I'd like some caffeine. You know, it's like it might help in the afternoons when I'm doing my, you know, reading and research and stuff like this. And so I drank a cup of tea then. And I felt this like surge of energy, and I realized that it, like I got kind of like freaked out. I didn't like it, and then I started to realize that there was a part of me that was using my meditation practice as a way of keeping control of my energy levels. You know, of my sort of like how I was feeling, like stimulation levels, and that actually it was interesting, like a wake up call. It was so I started to realize that this mindfulness that I had been cultivating had at some point started to become colored by this energy of control, that I was using awareness to control my mental life rather than be open to whatever it was. And that's when I realized, oh, that's interesting. And I kind of relaxed that grip. And since then, I've become a little bit more relaxed about like drinking like coffee or tea when I feel like it. But it's just like, but there are just, I'm telling you this story because it's an example of these subtle ways in which the way we practice can become hijacked by different psychological strategies that we have, like for me, this impulse to want to have control of my mental life, you know, and it was something so subtle, and I did not see it. But then once I started to see it, I could start to be free of that, you know, so that the awareness could start to become looser, more flexible again. But this is the kind of real challenge of practice, which is not in some kind of paranoid way, but just realizing that we're going to constantly be using practice in ways that are colored, like in my example, by our own various psychological scripts. You know, it's not just that practice gives us a way to see our scripts, like the one Rudy was describing, which is really important, but practice itself starts to become energized or motivated by these scripts. And so that requires a very subtle kind of wakefulness. You know, are we using practice itself, like Tony Packer's word, as a way of working with, like being somebody who's working with their present moment experience? Or can we just, in a relaxed way, just be with what our experience is, right? It sounds like not very different, but it makes all the difference in the world when it comes to the kind of work that we're doing, right? This, so. Okay. Sorry for holding you guys a little bit late. Oh yeah, Vivian, do you want to ask or say something, please?
Yes, I think I was doing exactly the opposite. I was drinking a glass of wine and relaxing.
I noticed that. I was like, is that a glass of wine that Vivian has? Okay.
It was a glass of wine. And I, you know, I'm relaxed.
Okay.
I think I was able and I think part, you made me realize that part of the reason perhaps that I did this was because way back at the breath part, I always feel like I'm when I'm aware of my breath, I'm always aware that I'm trying to control my breathing, particularly the out breath is easy.
Yeah.
But
the
in
breath.
Breath.
Yeah.
I think
so Vivi, I can relate very much to that. I think a lot of people on this call can relate to that, right? A lot of what it is to be aware of the breath is to be aware of the ways in which we control the breath, that the breath is tight. So I will say, over time, just sort of let that tension, that controlling energy be part of your awareness of the breath, and it will start to soften on its own. It will move if you just let it be there. Just like anything that you let just be there will start to shift over time. And so tonight, the glass of wine helped, but you won't always need it. Okay. And so trust me. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So nice to see you all. And I will look forward to seeing you next time. Okay. Take care. Good night, everybody.